Hi, and welcome to another episode of Stories of Climate Change Hope, the podcast that brings you a little bit of hope every other week. My name is Steffen Schwartmann, and today we listen to the climate story of Carla Madueño Florian. She is a member of the Youth in Landscape Steering Committee at the Global Landscapes Forum. She describes herself as a person embarking herself on a journey of discovery and self-determination. You've heard her already in another episode where we talked about our impressions of COP26 in Glasgow this year. Today's episode is all about balancing different roles, balancing our role as an activist, which does not always easily combine with our job. And we will start with a personal story of Carla.
You know, my mother, I mean, I don't want to pick her like during our conversation, but just she made me aware that being an environmentalist is a political act and you might get hate from it. So she's always telling me, go the diplomatic way, don't hate the system, don't escalate things. Don't be disruptive. And I really hate that because that's not my personality. That's not the energy that I am, that I have. But I think that's what's keeping me back from writing, because I could really write very interesting insights from where I have been. But I'm really scared that this would compromise my previous employer and certain things in the market that everybody knows, but that everybody hush-hush, like, keeps silent. So it's a fine line between being an activist and being against the system. So it's, that's why I think that's why I am not writing.
So in a way, you agree with what your mom is saying?
Yeah, and I hate that, because actually I feel very frustrated for not being able to be who I am. And then the contradiction is that I am invited to some spaces to speak things that nobody else says. So I have this, it's hard to be a STEM person, career person in the family, even if your family is not really, I'm not going to say support, but they don't really get your ideas. So it's hard. Yeah.
And maybe people would also, when you work as based on research and science, and then you have very strong positions, then maybe people would also question this, whether it aligns or not.
Yes, and if I apply for a new job, let's say in a parallel world, if this really becomes like a thing, like Carla and her blog, I would really make a statement on who I am, and I don't know if that's going to cut opportunities or make opportunities for me. So I'm very, and I hate this, but this is the first time I'm actually saying this out loud, because I think it's important. It's a fine line between what world do we want to have and what opportunities do we kill if we speak up our truth, because sometimes people are not ready to hear that.
I don't know if it's okay for you to say, but just to emphasize or visualize what you just said, so the positions that you held and what you have done in the past, I guess, may seem a bit contradictory, or not contradictory, but very, very different. Like, there might be, like you said, living in like different worlds is must be really challenging when you work there, and at the same time you have all your other perspective and your other opinion, but you are like hesitant, you cannot say this in that environment.
Yes, and you don't get a recognition in either platform, and one platform is completely ignorant about what happens outside the ecological circle, and the other one says we will shut down the ecologies because we don't care, and this has been business as usual. So it's that's probably why we are in the crisis, because of those two ways of thinking. For instance, like, this is not talking about the groups of youth activism that I have been part of or that I know, but also in general, I highly criticize environmentalist groups that only look at their own belly, like they look down at themselves, like we are so green, ecological, vegan, vegetarian, climate friendly, whatever. And they don't dare to talk to the students of politics, students of business, students of arts, students of literature that actually are having those power roles. There is little invitation for them. And my sister studied something related to businesses, and she constantly feels this division, this epistemological boundary of your business, go back to your industry, and only we want here the foresters, we only want here the biologists to talk about environment. So even for her, coming from a business background, having no background in natural sciences, she really feels in the opportunities, in the vacancy calls, in the vacancy announcements for career in, as a green job, she feels that boundary. So it's like we learn nothing, right? And we don't realize that we need, honestly, I believe I save a tree more through sustainable banking in the banking sector than tying me up with a tree before they cut it down in Hambach Forest. And because that's how it is, but the ecologists are not getting it. They still think that hugging trees is gonna save the world. No, you just need to change how the financial and economic system works. Yeah. That's why I had to do the jump. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the goal of my podcast was talk about hope and people who are engaged. But one other aspect, main aspect, was to invite people from everywhere, and like mainly students and youth. But I guess I haven't really talked a lot to people who are, you know, like maybe social entrepreneurs. So they have a business, but they are looking at how to have a positive impact on society or the environment. Mm-hmm. So that is something I need to change, actually.
It starts with a simple email. You can just contact these startups or attend these different webinars, and then you at least get an idea of who is in the scene, and just write them an email. I really doubt that they will say no. They will be happy to learn, because you know what? People in the industry, they have no idea of what climate change is, how can I reduce my emissions? They need that knowledge. So I think we need to stop looking at our own bellies, and yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't expect, you know, when I started the podcasts, I found out that it's actually really easy to find lots of people who have so many great projects. Like I join another workshop, another webinar, and usually there's someone who I think like, oh my God, this could be such a great guest for the podcast, something so valuable there to share, so that yeah, it almost never happened that I was contacting like a complete stranger that I never heard of before, or someone famous, or doing research what organizations are there. Yeah, but yeah, that's a good advice.
yes.
Doing COP26 in Glasgow, there were many other events that were related to climate change, but that did not take place at the official venue at the Scottish Event Campus. There was, for example, a conference on climate change and health by the World Health Organization. There was also a conference by the Global Landscapes Forum called Frontiers of Change. And there, Carla and I, we ran into each other again. We participated at a workshop, which is basically a place to share your emotions and thoughts on the climate crisis. And that's where we met. And this was a very valuable experience for me as well. And very important if you want to connect to someone who is working or who is an activist on this issue as well. So one thing that we did and there we met as well was this kind of climate circle where we talked about, yeah, what is climate? What is the climate crisis? What does climate justice mean for us? How does it make us feel? For me, this was the first time I think I've heard about this, and I'm talking about these issues to friends, but I've never done it like in this kind of format where you are meeting strangers and you are discussing this very, very personally. But I think we need more of these to connect. And maybe this would be something where you could even connect with people who do something completely different. So you are pro nature, you're very green, and maybe someone else from completely different background is having similar worries, but just from a different perspective. So in my opinion, this would really help. What do you think about this climate circle that we joined?
Yeah, that is for sure a very important moment or tool to keep us rooted to this common cause, because it's not about a molecule. It's not about CO2. It's much more than that. It's about emotions. We are emotional beings. We act more driven by emotions than by rationality. And I think it's important to go back to how we feel. How is this affecting us? How do we see ourselves as a climate ambassador or climate advocate? But also, how do we keep on having just a regular, normal life, being young, enjoying with our family or friends or in our careers? So there are many things to balance. So it's like juggling, but not with two balls. Rather, I would say with 17 different balls at the same time. So yeah. And that's part also of the intergenerational issue. Like, I mean, youth back then in the 80s or 70s, they just juggled like two balls, like perhaps work and career and personal life, or three balls. But we are juggling so many, trying to balance so many elements. Mental health. We want to protect ourselves in the middle of a pandemic. We don't want more future pandemics. We want green jobs. We want our bank account to be sustainable enough. So it's just overwhelming. So it's very important to go back to that human factor, like who are we beyond that facade of what we do? And what's the impact of that topic on us, more than what could we do to stop climate change, rather what is climate change doing to us? So it's a relational, it's an ambivalent question. It goes two ways. So I experienced this group in the GLF. I joined this group in the GLF event, which was for youth. So it was super nice to align my feelings with others and also feel that this struggle is shared in many points. But I also did so in a, I don't know the name, but it was in a side event in the Blue Zone. They also had a moment for meditating and opening up these levels of complexity and sense of belonging to Mother Earth. And it was a bit spiritual though, so less emotional, rather more spiritual, but nevertheless important, because also as a religious person, because I do believe in God, there is a strong sense of morality here that nobody wants to have written anywhere. In no report you write, we do this for the sake of global justice. In no report we write, we do this for the sake of protecting the common house that was given to us. You would rather say, in order to stop hunger, in order to alleviate poverty. But what are the ultimate human causes for these injustices in the world? And it needs courage. It takes courage to ask the right questions and to deal with the complexity of emotions. We are feeling like beings that feel, emotional, sentient beings. So I cannot pretend that I'm having fun talking about climate change, because actually we're talking about a crisis. So we need to also develop this emotional strength in challenging times to be able to talk about this without losing ourselves. So it's very important, and I wish it could be stronger, the call for emotional action and for moral action, because literally it's our common house like, honestly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I don't think I have anything to add. I mean, I agree. Yeah.
What I can share perhaps is because I could invite the listener or yourself as well, Stephen. Sorry, I'm translating the names. Stephen, to go back to that spiritual character of what is our responsibility for ourselves, for our own happiness. How do we dream of a better life? And I go back in that sense always to religion and to what Pope Francis says, because he, a couple of years ago, he published his Laudato Si encyclica, calling from the theological perspective for the common protection of our common house. And he has been a really empowering picture for me also, because that means coming from God, coming from the church that I belong, there is this call for urgency and this call for fraternity, and that we should not forget that we have treated Earth as a poor. So it really aligns. So I would call, invite listeners to go back perhaps to their spiritual or religious convictions and explore what does Buddhism say? What is the stake of a Protestant church? And believe me, there are significant alliances emerging across churches and across religions, because we are all religions want the happiness of the humans. So all of them are really concerned about our leaders not acting ambitious enough. So this is not only a scientific thing. This is not only an economic thing. This is also a moral thing, a religious thing, an existential thing. From many points, you can explore this topic. And I think this can only get more important.
Yeah, and while you're saying it's not fun to talk about climate change because it's a crisis, and I think it can be difficult to talk about it, but on the other hand, in my opinion, you can find joy in like volunteering, find joy in working together with others as activists or promoting your own idea, your own project, and stay hopeful. I would like to say thanks to my friend Coco, who has helped me designing the podcast logo and also has advised me in between. And I would also like to thank my old music teacher, who is also a musician who goes by the name Vulcan Recorder, who is allowing me to use his music for the podcast intro and the outro. Thank you so much. And remember that you can listen to the podcast on all podcast distribution apps. So in case you're still going to the website, you don't have to do that. You can just download the episodes to your smartphone and then listen to it while you're outside on a walk, or you're running, while you're in the gym, whatever you're doing, you can get inspired with this podcast.